Sean, we heard the Minister talk about some of the numbers around international education. But I have to say, and I have the great pleasure of working with the Study Adelaide team, I don't think most of South Australia really gets it. I don't think they understand just how much of an impact international education has. And when you say it's second only to wine, they go, really? So tell us a bit about the scope of the sector.
Well, it's bigger than everyone in this room understands. Mm. I'm very confident in saying that. And if people thought today was going to be a nice lunch where you'd hear some statistics trotted out, I think you're misinformed.
Yeah.
I'm here to challenge you all, really, to actually understand the scale of the opportunity that's presented to the whole of our economy, and particularly our business sector, by what's a thriving international education sector. Mm. So the high-level numbers that the Minister presented are dead right. You know, $1.62 billion, our second largest export, more than copper, more than wheat, mm. more than barley, more than meat, more than fish, mm. our second biggest. 38,000 students. That's a lot of people running around, generating a lot of vibrancy in our state, in particular.
And a lot of ripple effect as well.
Well, and this is the bit that I think, that $1.62 billion, I should be really clear to everybody, because you're probably sick of hearing all the figures about this industry generates this and this does that. That $1.62 billion is national figures. That's the ABS, yeah, ABS data, right? Bureau of Statistics data. It's not our data. We don't make those up. For an announcement for the Minister. They are fair income figures built on an Australian model. But they don't capture the whole story. In fact, I'd argue they don't capture half of it. And I say that because those figures concentrate on a lot of what goes on behind the university walls. Mm. And a bit of what goes on outside of the university walls that engage a lot of us in business here. But there's another story beyond that.
And I have to ask, it's not quite a Dorothy Dixer, but have you deliberately kept a low profile?
Well, it's
such
funny.
A good story.
It's just one of those things that happens. It's one of these things that's evolved, and I think it's snuck up on all of us in the room. Who'd have thought when you were asked a couple of years ago, what's the state's second biggest export? What's the state's biggest export? Mm. Who would have thought? Who would have thought it's not some thing that we make?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought it's a service? Who'd have thought that? It's new revenue, new revenue to our state that's competitively won from global markets, right? So that's the first point. The low profile. The reality is that the flow-on benefits of that group of champions that the Minister was talking about. You know, we have 38,000 sitting in the state right about now. 38,000 people that we're trying to deliver a great experience to so they become champions. But think of what's gone before.
Yeah.
Think of what's gone before and think of what's coming. And they're out there. And some of them are starting to come back. And when they're coming back, they are delivering exports. They are delivering tourism revenue. They're delivering property investment. Mm. They're delivering new retail engagement. There is a much bigger story, and I think part of the reason Richard's here is just to share one example.
Absolutely, I think it's really interesting and also incredibly frustrating. Richard's been one of the smart ones, and I'll come to you in a tick, Richard, about how South Australian businesses really aren't making the most of what's right under their nose. Mm. Sebastian, at Flinders, where does your cohort of international students come from and what are they studying? Mm-hmm.
So at Flinders, it's a diverse cohort. We enjoy hosting, it's around 3,800 students on our campus here in Adelaide. We have an additional 1,500 students offshore as well, but for the purpose of the discussion here, about 3,800. And about 80% of our students come from the top 10 markets, and China is our biggest market. Mm-hmm. We have India, Nepal. We have emerging markets. Flinders has been very, very successful in the last 4 or 5 years. We have had tremendous growth, and we've seen very, very significant market diversification.
So what are the emerging markets that you're seeing?
We've seen, well, Nepal has certainly come up over the last few years. We've had good, steady investment and return from our engagement in East and West Africa. So that's really coming up for us and enjoying a good so-called market share in the South Australian context there. So it's been really good. Our profile is also that if I look at what they're studying, Flinders has a strong reputation and a name across the health sector. So our nursing program, our medicine program, public health, really, really attractive for our students. And we're also looking, we also attract a lot of students into our sort of social sciences, the social work, psychology, and so forth. And then we've got the business engineering, IT areas as well. So comprehensive, really, but with a slightly different profile to our friends at the other two universities.
So it's a broad and diverse skill set that is being trained and educated and evolved. Is your role just about bringing them in, educating them, and then setting them free to go home again?
Look, no, it's not. This is the question about the role of the university,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a purpose. We have we serve the community. Now, students that come here, there's I guess multiple ways you can address that. Our role is to, of course, educate the students that choose to come to us and prepare them for a career, prepare them for work. Whether they choose to go home or not depends really on the driver of the student. Yeah. We see changing drivers in what students really want. A lot of the students are looking for the opportunity to stay, but there are also many students, of course, that are looking to go back or even to go to third country. So it's a mobile, highly, I guess, driven student cohort. So absolutely not. No, we are absolutely there to ensure that they have an ability to realise their ambitions. And I think the minister made reference to the population growth agenda here in South Australia. And I think that is really an opportunity now for us. We have, as we've said numerous times now, we have 38,000 students here at the moment. They have demonstrated a loyalty to South Australia. Let's make the most out of them. Let's make sure that they are well prepared. Let's make sure they have a good experience. Let's make sure that those who so desire stay and continue and contribute to South Australia.
You talk about making the most of the pool of talent we have. Mm. And Richard, you're one of the very smart local businesses that took on an international student. Was that a deliberately strategic move on your part? And feel free to say yes. How did that come about?
Well, I'd love to say yes. The answer is it was complete fluke, really. I actually am a product of the international student system by itself. I migrated here back in 01, Flinders University alumni. And I know what everybody's thinking. He must have been a mature age student with all this grey hair, and you're absolutely right, I was. But I'd love to say it was strategic. It wasn't. We were under a little bit of pressure in the office one day, and a CV crossed the desk from an international student, and we needed a little bit of sort of translation work done, but to really cover a maternity leave role for a fixed-term contract of 3 months. We recruited a young Chinese girl, UNUN, who turned over 6 years, I think, just the last few days. And since then, we've embarked on this amazing journey, not just an amazing journey in terms of the revenue growth and the business growth that's come as a result of that, but also just the personal and professional growth in my life. You know, I spend 10 weeks a year these days in mainland China, and you know, I speak probably about 150 words of Mandarin. Certainly nowhere near as good as this man. But you know, just terrific, absolutely terrific. It's really interesting that once it actually happened, we skilled up pretty quick, and we realised that there were some grass roots of opportunity, some green shoots. And very, very quickly, we scooted around Adelaide and got in touch with Australia-China Business Council. And Sean's certainly been a great mentor in the growth journey that we've been on. But we saw the grassroots of opportunity, developed a strategy, and then have just executed that well and continued to refine that strategy over the last few years.
So what did you think you were getting when you took on Yuan? You thought you were getting a nice Chinese girl who'd come and do a bit of a mat leave cover and that would be the end of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, fundamentally. And you know, the end of the first 3 months, you know, Yuan's great. She'll grab hold of something and then take it to the next level. So at the end of 3 months, we were looking around. We thought, well, there's a few green shoots of opportunity. We'll renew the contract for another 3 months. At the end of 6 months, we'd really developed a strategy, and that's when we sort of said, well, okay, it's a no-brainer just to give her a full-time contract and execute a strategy. At that time, we'd just acquired a 50% half share in another business, and we were sort of mainly focused on integrating that acquisition as opposed to going out to build export markets. So at that stage, we were 90% domestic distribution, 10% export. Today, we're 66% export, 85% of which goes to China. And at the end of November 2017, the oldest business awards in Australia, the Optus Business Awards, named us as Australia's number one export company. So
that's extraordinary.
Remarkable journey.
So it has been a remarkable journey. And it seems, I suppose, so blindingly obvious now in hindsight, but how important was her, Yuan's innate knowledge of Chinese tradition and custom and business ethos, you know, the things that you just would not have known?
Yeah, really, I mean, quite important. I mean, doing business in China is an incredibly different way of doing business, and those of you who travel and do business in China in the room will know that. Leonie McKeown, another South Australian lady, has also been great in terms of mentoring and learning and advice about all of those. She calls it the 36 strategies, which it is. It's really how to do a manual on how to do business in China.
Yeah.
And but Yuan was valuable, absolutely. But Yuan, you know, even if she doesn't have all the answers, can open doors for you to people who do have the answers.
Yeah. Sebastian, can I ask, Richard's experience, which has been really quite extraordinarily positive, shows just how valuable these students can be. And it's a huge resource that most businesses, and my focus today is really about tapping South Australian businesses on the shoulder and going, well, you know, why not you lot? Because there are some great resources and great talent to be had. How do you essentially prepare an international student the best possible way to be able to contribute successfully to businesses like Richard's?
Look, I think Richard's example, whilst accidental in a way, I think where we are now at Flinders and other universities, I think the sort of it's moved to students increasingly having an opportunity to test their wings in an industry setting prior to graduation. But typically at the university, the course that the student undertakes is, of course, the core building block. And then universities look at ways of adding value. That can happen then during the program. At Flinders, we're really proud of our work integrated learning program, for example. And that's something where we embed practical experience, industry placement, clinical placements as throughout the course. You know, with a view to prepare students better for the moment when they graduate, as opposed to a more sequential approach, right? So there's those integrated programs. Then at Flinders, we have a number of other initiatives. The minister mentioned the pilot, the AWEN program, and Flinders had a number of students participating in that. We run, we have a careers team that run workshops and training sessions. We have what we call, within one of our colleges, we have live industry projects.
Right.
And that's a very particular program where effectively our students act as business consultants. And they provide advice to real business matters, and they get the feedback, they can see the impact of the work they do. Another example of an additional program, not integrated necessarily in the core program, is our New Venture Institute and the work they do in terms of encouraging and building an entrepreneurial mind in our students. And we see that as really, really critical. And actually, one of our priorities, our strategies, is to ensure that we actually graduate Australia's most enterprising graduates.
Fabulous.
We want all of our students to have that as part of their degree.
Sean, I've got to ask you, it seems to me, and I'm sure it's not 100% strike rate, but there's a great opportunity for a mutual win-win. Why do you think more South Australian employers aren't embracing that opportunity?
Because it's not necessarily something that comes naturally, right? Mm-hmm. An international student doesn't necessarily... Well, firstly, they don't have any work experience generally. So, you know, it's like when you take a work experience person into your business, it's a bit like... you know, most businesses in South Australia won't even have a manual or a policy on how they manage that process. So, and let's face it, you know, we're a small business economy. So for small businesses to stop student time is not necessarily something that they're thinking of on a day-to-day basis when it's all about cash flow. So I think that the first opportunity is understanding the potential.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Richard's done, an international student himself, with the help of another international student many years on, has taken a traditional South Australian small business into one of the most successful exporters in our country. But that started off as a very small business. That injection of skills, starting with Richard and then Yuan Yuan, changed that. That sound, to the extent that sounds like some sort of Disney plot to you all, it's very real. It's very real. And a lot of these students are self-starters. So to the extent there's some anxiety about, that's gonna take my focus away from cash flow, my existing strategy, to the extent that's your anxiety, I can say that there are better models. The universities and other providers are better prepared than ever to support you through that journey, so that you're not doing it all by yourself. Because we in Study Adelaide, we want business to succeed, because we want these students to have the best experience and to realise their objective.
Absolutely.
Because if you, in fact, we just did. When you survey students, and we do this, we stalk students.
In the nicest possible way.
Yeah, of course. Because it's really important. You've got to start everything you do from understanding what the customer wants, right? They want, and their parents who are investing, you know, at least a couple of $100,000 in your average four-year journey, at least, right? They want employability, advancement. Advancement's the word. They don't want their kid to go back, "How was Australia?" "Great." Yeah, beach, wine, cool, Tim Tams, you know. they want their child to have advanced.
Yeah.
And whether that's to take a job back in country or whether it's here, and to make a new life for the child and their family as an international business person. You know, to Yuan Yuan's family, and, you know, Richard might care to talk about this, she's an international business person.
Absolutely.
She's also... you know, a great champion for South Australia. But if you think about what these people want to achieve, all we're doing is providing an opportunity for them to realise that ambition. But in so doing, we benefit hugely as well. So while we're helping a visitor to our state realise their ambition, which is a very noble thing that all South Australians should be on about, we should be wanting visitors to our state to have the best possible time here, we're also helping ourselves significantly. So I think if we actually understand this mindset and understand it's not such a leap, it is not a huge leap, it is not a business killer, it is not an unnecessary distraction. These people bring language skills, at least. Mm-hmm. As you heard, Sebastian, our other unis, our vet providers, they all train these people to be ready, to be job ready. They bring... connections to a market. They bring insights into a South Australian business from a global perspective. I think we could all do with a bit of that from time to time. And they're eager for it. All you've got to do is let them in.
And so you're not necessarily doing them a favour?
Well, you are. I think you are. You are doing them
because
a favour.
Because you know what I mean? There are a lot of employers that would go, oh, God, another work experience kid. You know, have I got time to get them to do the filing? But, you know, and, yeah. And I think that is potentially part of the perception that people think. Sorry, Sebastian, you want to say?
I just wanted to, I guess, just reflect a bit on the very multi sort of dimensional students that are actually here. I mean, we are talking about the work experience kid. I think it's important for, and I know many in the room know this, but nevertheless important to stress that a large proportion of students at our universities, at least, are postgraduate students. Mm. And they come to us very often with previous work experience, a number of years of work in their home country, maybe in the managerial role.
That's a very good point.
And when they come here, they're looking for that advancement. But what it means is that when they graduate, they are not just a kid seeking work experience. They are a real asset. And they can contribute from day one, and they can assist businesses, organizations with perspectives, work and real work perspectives from their home countries. So we need to think about it as a broad talent pool, really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lee, Sebastian's entirely right. I mean, some of the practical applications that in our business have been, you know, we've had postgraduate students, international students from Ehrenberg Bass Institute at UniSA, looking at a sales and marketing strategy. We implemented a lot of their recommendations over the last two or three years. We've had interns coming from accounting and finance, from IT, building a winesbyjeffhardy.com.cn website. I think that chap's from Adelaide Uni. We've had a number of people staffing and manning our cellar doors as part of the increase in inbound Chinese tourism.
You're a complete convert by the sound of it.
Well, yes, born out of personal experience. Absolutely. I mean, when I got here, it was damn hard to go from senior management position at HSBC in the UK into the financial services industry in South Australia. And I remember how hard that was as a 33-year-old graduating international student. And so I think it's incumbent upon us all. And if our international student industry is to prosper, it is absolutely incumbent on every single small, medium-sized business in this room to consider the recruitment of an international student, because if not, we lose one of our competitive advantages in the marketplace. And every other state, I don't know if it's still true, I heard at a Queensland lunch once, Gold Coast had a greater market share of international students than we do. Mm. Well, that's mad.
Absolutely.
You know, why would you want to go to the Gold Coast when you can be in South Australia? Food, wine, lifestyle. I mean, quality of life
very
and standard of living
today,
in this state is beyond compare globally. I travel 16 weeks a year, and when I get back home to Blewett Springs, I can tell you, nowhere else compares.
But also I think, and Sean, you'd probably comment on this and in relation to the minister's comments, that whole submission to the federal government, the stay, you know, study and stay, if we give these fabulous students a great experience, that's going to make that job so much easier.
It's going to give us an unfair competitive advantage. And those of us in business, it's nice to have a competitive advantage. It's really nice to have an unfair
Absolutely,
one.
Take that.
And that's actually where I know the Premier and the Minister, while they can't say that, I think that's the objective, is to position South Australian businesses with an unfair competitive advantage. Mm. And because the natural progression of students through a great experience at school and university, through to a great experience within our community, through to job skills and advancement, and a pathway that will sell South Australia like nothing else. That is the best sales pitch. Is look at her and look at him. That's our sales pitch.
And I think if we can get the business community on side as a ripe repository of, you know, willing partners in this, and that's something that perhaps they can't offer on the East Coast. Mm. You know, that point of differentiation, I think, could be really strong.
It is. It's actually. This is where South Australia. This is where in South Australia we have to recognise our competitive advantage. We're nimble.
Yeah.
We have the capacity because we close streets occasionally and run major events. We could close King William Street for an afternoon, Ian. We could close it, City Growth, City of Adelaide. We could close King William Street, and we could march the students from Victoria Square, and we could come out and thank them for their contribution over 4 years. The message that would send to international markets about us
is huge,
is massive, because it's not just the policy setting, and it's we've got very good policy settings, and we're pushing for even better ones. It's not just the policy setting; it's the hearts and minds of South Australians that are providing the most welcoming environment for international students. And why wouldn't you want to be known as?
Absolutely.
Given everything we've said. And the other point I just wanted to make about the difference between when Richard was doing it and we're having this discussion, just to allay any fears people have, it's now lawful to take all those interns to have that work experience. It wasn't always that way. You will have seen, you know, fair work issues and exploitation concerns in the past. Fortunately, universities and the law have caught up with this desire to give these students an opportunity, and it's now lawful. Their visas permit it, industrial law permits it, university courses permit it, right? So it's entirely lawful. And then the last little bit, if I can, is we talked about these students looking to connect with business. There's a whole other type of student that's out there that isn't counted in the figures, and it's the entrepreneurial student.
Yeah.
We dig these nuggets out, and you literally trip over them.
Yeah.
We had one at a session last year, a young fellow who just finished his applied project management diploma, who then went on to tell us that while he was studying, he exported $300,000 worth of South Australian wine, Ugg boots, skincare, and Tim Tams.
Right? On him.
Direct to his markets off his phone, right? Now that's $300,000 that he hasn't bought wholesale. He's gone and bought that retail in town and sent it back, right? Him and his friends have sent it back. Then that's at one level. And there's lots of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of those that are underpinning a lot of retail growth in the City of Adelaide. But then there are the Nico Tengs of this world. And if you drive down Flinders, Franklin Street, you'll see West Franklin.
Yep.
That's Nico. That's a couple of $100 million that you won't see in the international education figures. Then there's Henny Lowe from Pixel Force, who developed the Sweat app for Kayla and Toby, the two of the best known South Australian entrepreneurs. That Sweat app that was developed by some graduating students delivered $100 million in revenue to that business last year. This isn't in the $1.62 billion figure. I could keep going. So when we talk about it being a $1.62 billion export industry, we are not even close. We are not even close to what the real net impact is. And you might say to me, well, Sean, why can't you tell me what it is? Because, unfortunately, we don't put trackers on these people and on their Visa cards or MasterCards, or rather their Union Pay and WeChat Pay and other forms. We don't do that. We're trying to find out. All I can do is point out to you that this is bigger than any of us really understand.
And still potential. That's the thing.
And this is the thing. It's a virtuous circle. The more advancement opportunities we provide these students, that will sell more of them coming. And which ones will come?
Yeah.
The entrepreneurial, business skills-driven ones will come, because it's a welcoming environment, it's a pathway environment, and it's a guaranteed advancement environment. These are the key things that consumers want out of an international education investment.
Yeah, and it's a thing that we need to differentiate ourselves. Mm. I want to get to some questions from the floor. So I've got one more question up here. So if you've got a question, raise your hand. I've got some mic runners who will spot you. So Sebastian, or Richard, I suppose, just in closing for this part of it, what would you say to employers? Is there anything they need to be aware of when it comes to visa requirements or the actual tangible, how do I get this person employed with me? Where do you start?
City of Adelaide have got a great employer portal, employerportal.com.au, is that right, Karen? Yep, cool, thank you. And that really helps you connect employers to students, and the universities are on hand to provide all the advice that you need. And, you know, don't get scared about taking somebody on from a full-time perspective. There's plenty of other, you know, part-time, casual internship opportunities that can add great value to your business. But employerportal.com.au, that is a great starting point.
Yeah, and that's currently under review and will be looking even more fabulous in the not-too-distant future. Mm. Sebastian, do you have something to add to that?
I would just reflect perhaps anecdotally. Every now and then we hear that sort of the HR policies might be lagging a bit in terms of our this opportunity. So I think Sean made a reference before to the lawfulness of employing international students upon graduation, and historically perhaps that wasn't the case, and in the instance that some of the employment policies that your organizations may have may still, for example, require that a student is on a permanent visa,
right,
with work rights. So I would just encourage, first of all, from your perspective, from a leadership perspective, to sort of take note of the opportunity, be aware of what international students are entitled to, and then pursue that through the organization, because we would hate to see these opportunities not being realized because there is an outdated HR policy sitting on a shelf somewhere in your organization. So be a champion within your organisations would be my advice.
Fabulous. We do have some questions. Question over here. And if you wouldn't mind, if you could introduce yourself and your organisation, that would be lovely.
Certainly, my pleasure. My name is Brendan Hughes. I'm the Director of Student Engagement at the University of South Australia, Australia's University of Enterprise. you can tell by my
that
accent.
That was subtle.
Thank you. Very subtle. Yeah. Not my forte. But you can tell I have a Canadian accent, so I have some similarities to being new. I've been here for 2 years. Just a couple quick things, and then I'll ask a couple quick questions, because I think with the minister in the room, I'm really on board with all the things you're saying, which is great. And I think when you mentioned about a street party, my experience in working with international students is that they don't want to meet each other. They want to meet domestic students. They want to meet, you know, the locals. So being someone from outside of Adelaide is amazing. We have the fringe on right now. We have all these activities. We have initiatives at UniSA, as I'm sure Flinders does, and University of Adelaide, to connect them with other students. So I think, really, if that's the idea, the ambassador program from Study Adelaide, it's those type of initiatives that I think would they'd be looking for, meeting with Australians, beach safety and all those type of things. So you said questions. So
yes, please.
Two quick questions was, with the minister in the room, if you weren't on the minister's advisory group, which I think is a great initiative, what are the type of things that you think the federal government, the state government, and the rest of the community could do to streamline the process for international students getting here? Because I think one of the biggest challenges is still that immigration piece or the visa piece, but that might be me. And then also, I can't remember the second question, so I'll just ask the one.
One's good. We're happy with one. Who would like to take that up?
I think rest assured, facilitating, making easier the pathway to get here is an absolute priority focus of Study Adelaide and very much also the state government. And Peter Clarke, who's here, who does a lot of work in this area with state government, this has been an absolute focus for us. And the minister spoke about some elements of what he and the Premier have been doing. I must say, in addition to, you know, tangible advantages and tangible streamlining and tangible broadening of criteria, just the messaging that we want to grow, that international students are a key part of that growth plan for our state, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a premiership window for us, where other state premiers are saying, no, thank you, we've had enough of that. Mm. So we've got a little premiership window here where we're absolutely focused about being open. We should differentiate ourselves from other jurisdictions and we should go hard at it. But that's one element of what we're doing and that we're focused on as a priority to grow our competitiveness in attracting international students.
There's another question from this side as well.
Ewan Miller from G'day SA. Our business focuses on teaching Australian business culture and getting international students' career starts. I just wanted to follow up on the minister's comment about writing letters to or emails to all parents, thanking them for sending their students here. A few years ago, we did some research and found out that every international student coming here is responsible for 9 extra bed nights where their parents and their siblings come and visit them while they're studying. And if you work that out, that's 350,000 bed nights in Adelaide extra that we wouldn't otherwise get, and it's much more than you get from the Adelaide 500, for example. I just wondered whether or not that's a business opportunity that the government should think about taking up, that most of the parents of international students are either entrepreneurs or bureaucrats, and when I say bureaucrats, at a very senior level, because you need some money to send your child to Australia to study, and I thought maybe the members of the panel might like to comment on that.
A reflection, Richard?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think we've yet accessed the opportunity, the latent opportunity that there is within our international student population as it stands today for international trade opportunities overseas now. We've tried to do a little bit of that, but I think it needs a sort of a bit more of a stronger collective approach. But there are, you know, Sean's point about you know, Daigo opportunities overseas, you know, and that's people who are buying products at retail and yeah. selling it into China, for example. You know, think about the margin if they were to connect at an industry level for wholesale FOB type price and export pricing. You know, bigger margins for them, but a greater opportunity as well for the broader business community. So we've got a bit of work to do on that. I'm not sure how we do it, but
Sean.
And just on the bed nights and the tourists, we're fortunate. Our minister is not only the minister for international trade and investment, but he's also the minister for tourism. So, and I've got the benefit of chairing both tourism and Study Adelaide. So, I know that tourism and Study Adelaide are talking about how we can enhance and build upon the connectivity between these students and their home markets and those connections. So, while there have been some things done in the past, this is also one of the priority areas. One of the priority areas is to really join those dots in a more strategic and resourced way, because I agree with the gentleman's comment. It's easy. It's tough. It's tough to sell people who've never been to or heard of Adelaide.
Yeah.
It's much easier to upsell people who've already got their own tour guide here. Mm. So that is very much a focus of opportunity for us to join those dots up even closer.
Do we have some more questions from the floor? And I want to jump in and ask you, Sebastian, on that, to extend that a little further. Of the students who come to you at Flinders, why did they choose Adelaide?
Well, there's lots of different research on this, what drives student choice, but...
And do we deliver on their expectations? Sorry
well,
to jump
I think,
in.
I think we do. We have satisfied students. We have absolutely satisfied students. The course is choice. They are looking for what course do they want to study. They have often quite an idea about... which country? So we need to remember this is a global competitive landscape,
absolutely.
Right? If they don't come to Australia, they'll go somewhere else. So they there are some students that just do not have Australia in their mindset. So then we compete within the Australian context to attract them to the South Australian context. And this is where this sort of conversation come into play, very much so, right? Mm. We believe now that we've got a great educational system here with quality courses through our various providers. We've got a wonderful environment to live in. We often talk about Adelaide as a study destination. Now, how can we redefine that value proposition?
Yeah.
And that's what this conversation is about, you know?
Mm. So that's
I think that value proposition with offering these opportunities for the students through our community, through the business networks and gain employment and eventually continue and contribute to the South Australian economy, that is a potential game changer. If we get that right, it is a game changer.
So what consumers want now and what they wanted 10 years ago is very different. To be really clear, South Australia has performed really well in this space. In international education, we have absolutely batted above our weight. And I think I saw Bill Spurr here, who's the former chair of Study Adelaide. Mm. At a time where this was just developing as an industry, we were very much hooked in because we understood the drivers. And it was about being friendly and accessible and welcoming and safe. These were key drivers. What's changed in the last couple of years is now the overt, but what about the advancement piece?
Yeah.
This is a competitive world. I want my kid to be safe. I want him to have a great time here.
I want that's lovely, but what's next?
I want the next piece.
Yeah.
And this is where we have a chance, uniquely. Like they won't be able to turn that message around in some of those bigger states as quickly as we can. If our business community gets behind this and says, well, we're committed to providing opportunities for international students to get advancement.
Yeah.
We will deliver Australia's biggest work experience program for international
but
students.
But also with South Australian businesses understanding they're not a charity. There's something to benefit the bottom line. So
that's
it makes
right.
it worth the effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right.
We have another question over here. Yes, please.
Good afternoon. My name is John Quay, board member of Study Adelaide. On another hand, the president of the Australian-Malaysian Business Council and a business owner. I think a very key important information why a lot of employers are not employing international students is the question mark. If I employ them, if I invest in them for half a year, 1 year, and I cannot sponsor them if, let's say, they do not have tick the right box in immigration, I think that's something that I'd like to put towards the board and also immigration think about, you know, especially with the entrepreneurial category, because a lot of students who have been successful in their studies may not necessarily be working in specific area of employment. And I think we need to have a bit of flexibility there so that then to encourage a lot of business that say that if they employ and give these people a fair go, there's a chance if they meet and tick all the boxes with the organization, they can continue. Otherwise, a lot of businesses may say, I don't want to waste my time having someone in where half a year later, I cannot use that.
Fair point. Yeah. Sebastian?
Just a quick comment. I think it is an important link, but I think we also need to acknowledge that our workforce in general is changing. The sort of employer that stays loyal for a lifelong employment with the same employer, that's changing, right? So Perhaps in the current visa setting, a student that graduates with a bachelor's degree or a master's by coursework degree can work an additional 2 years in a related or unrelated field of their study. Now, 2 years is a reasonable time to have an impact, I would argue.
Mm. Absolutely.
But absolutely, that I guess that next, what happens after that, it is an important element, but I think we need to acknowledge that, you know, if you retain someone for the maximum allowable time that they're allowed to work in Australia, if they do nothing else, seek no other visa or no other opportunity, is 2 years. That's not an insignificant time to have an impact.
Another question from the floor, but I'll jump in the meantime. Sean, obviously Richard has an export business, and a lot of people might be going, well, that's fine, but I don't have an export business. How can domestic South Australian businesses, what's in it for them? Because we do have a tidal wave, hopefully, of inbound tourism. So what are the opportunities?
It's interesting, the definition of export business, right? Because I'd argue there are businesses in the city of Adelaide, for example, that a significant proportion of their income is derived from international students. Yeah. And they would call themselves traditional retail businesses. But actually, you know, some of that consumption goes back offshore, but a lot of it is international money. So I'll give you an example. My brother used to run the Harvey Norman computer franchise at City Cross here. And when he got the job, he came and spoke to me because he'd been working out at Marion. And he said, I noticed that at Marion it used to be, oh, the weekend, all the Aussies would come in on the weekend and they'd buy stuff. During the week, it's dead. Mm. In town here, I've just got all these international students walking in, but, you know, at all sorts of hours. Mm-hmm. It's very different. He said one example he gave me, and my brother, like me, studied Mandarin at school. One young fellow came in and bought a whole lot of computer gear and then went to pay and had a problem with his card. And so he's on his phone, and it was his first or second week in the country. And he said, look, I'm having problems opening my account. Can you help me navigate to unlock my account so I can pay on the card? And he couldn't follow the prompts for the bank, so my brother helped him follow the prompts. And there in his account was $170,000. Mm. And my brother thought,
nice,
gee whiz, I didn't have to take 20 bucks off of that. But my brother was relaying this to me within the context of that's new money flowing into our economy that I'm tapped into. And I said, you're an exporter, right? It's just that it's not going. It's just that it's not crossing the border. And you can run it. We can go into technical definitions all we like. Mm. We need new revenues in our economy. Growth depends on new revenues. These are new revenues. They're competitively earned revenues. We fought to get these people here. So property investment and property purchase, particularly in the city, retail. Experiences. I mean, when these kids go on the road, they go hard, right? They don't tend to stay in hostels, right? They go hard, especially when they're taking their parents, because it's about showing their parents that they fit in, that they have been successful here, that they understand here, that in the family is secure because I am internationally capable, and they dish it up to their parents, right? Yeah. And their parents love it, so they just dish it up to our businesses.
And we'll have more of that.
Yeah, but it's a great thing because we're giving them what they want, but they're also giving us what we need. It's a wonderful mutually beneficial arrangement.
Now, did I have another? Yep, a question from the floor over here. Yes, please.
Yes, thank you, Marie Wilson, Vice Chancellor of Business and Law, University of South Australia. Just following up on Sebastian's point a few minutes ago, and also following up, given the diversity and levels of government that we have in the room, we've just done a survey of both professional associations and businesses regarding post-study workloads, particularly for postgraduate students. And the feedback that we're getting quite strongly is 2 years is not enough. Because for mastery, either if you're going for something like CPA or professional accreditation, or if you're going to be a contributing member of
Can we talk about the four years.
And organizations large and small are hesitant
you can.
To invest if they cannot reap the rewards. And if they do then apply for visa, the test is very high, the process is very long, and it's very expensive as an ongoing expense, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a few glimmers of hope that this is getting both more integrated and that there's a longer-term vision for enlarging the scope and length of stay for highly qualified professional services and high-tech graduates?
Okay, who'd like to tackle that one? Sebastian?
Thank you, Marie. I think, obviously, we Minister referenced before that the that we currently are advocating for an extension of the length of the post-study work right with the federal government. So that would, if all things align, would enable our students, specifically here in SA, but also NT and Tassie, to be able to endure the work studies for 4 years. So that doubles the time. There's also a lot of work, and Sean referenced it before, by Peter Clarke and his team in DTTI around the state nominations and various forms of sponsor visas. We're pilot for the entrepreneur visa, and the applications are strong, I understand, coming in on those visas. So hopefully those settings will come into play and that situation will be addressed.
So it's a work in progress, so watch this space. I have time for one final question from the floor.
Thank you. Rosie Broderick, Wilner School, International Recruitment. From the secondary school perspective, quite a lot of investment from both the state schools and independent schools goes into recruiting secondary students. But what we're finding, and this is purely anecdotal, is that many of the international students are aspiring to universities interstate, and once they've completed their secondary schooling in South Australia, they are applying to primarily New South Wales and Victorian universities. So my question, Sebastian, is what can the South Australian universities do to retain those students that have spent up to 5 years sometimes in the secondary sector in New South Australia?
Well, it's a good question, and something I wish we had the immediate answer to, and would have had it for the last number of years, of course, to have prevented that leakage. But I think there will always be a natural leakage, perhaps. But one thing I would say, and perhaps not the fully sort of developed thought in my mind, but going back a little bit to the conversation we've had about our old messaging, I mean, our school sector enjoys the largest market share of any of the sectors in South Australia. The safety argument for the school sector has always been a very strong one. It has sort of resonated that we are smaller, we are a smaller city, therefore we are safer. Therefore, it's better for a school student to come here with the view to, once they're a bit older, they can go to the unsafe Eastern, you know. So maybe inherently we are creating that, what, because we are utilizing that safety as a lead value proposition, perhaps, right? But it's a thought, right? I think it's important to consider we are more than just safer, right? So if the school sector is starting also to work actively with us, and this sort of, I guess, argument that we as a panel has put forward, I think would resonate in the school sector as well. It is a longer journey, yes, but I would have thought the ambitions are there. So,
can I just ask one final question before I bring this to a close? And Sean, this is one for you. We talk about one of our bows being the fact that we're smaller and safer, but we're not just playing in a national market. We're playing in a global market. And I know that we're pushing forward, but who's on your radar in a global perspective who, you know, if I'm a mum sitting in India, it could be Adelaide or it could be somewhere else. Where are our market threats at the moment?
I'm not going to give anyone any airtime other than us, right? So, but I just want to assure, you know, people have asked some really direct questions. Rest assured, we mine a lot of data to understand exactly where we sit competitively, to understand specifically where we need to get better, who our biggest threats are, and how we differentiate. Then we also look at how we reach the consumer, how we can influence the consumer, and how we can outperform our competitors. We have an incredibly we have a great board at Study Adelaide. It's a bit unique because you have government at the table with private sector and with the city council. Everyone's got money in. It's a partnership. It's a genuine financial as well as a moral and in principled partnership, and we have great industry partners as well who work with us. We are taking this extremely seriously. Last year, we tipped the whole thing upside down, so we've had a great successful base, but we're not going to rest on that. We want to remain competitive over the next 10 years. The other exciting bits are, you know, the minister has come in to government with a new policy about a hub, for example. Now, this is precisely the sort of thing we need to curate these business meets student things so they don't happen by fluke. And to be fair, I think Richard is very much underselling his strategic acumen. But we're not just going to sit back and let this happen by accident. We're driving, as you can probably tell by the fact I'm sitting forward on my chair and using my hands. We're driving this, but we need you. Yeah. We need you because this is a very, very competitive environment. And it used to be that the US and the UK didn't care about international education because they had enough in their own domestic market. Well, those giants have awoken. The other thing that's happened is that in our traditional markets, our big markets like China, they have massively invested and come a long way in terms of what they deliver. And in fact, they're making the argument to their students, why do you want to go offshore? Because we can offer you a better pathway here. So we're up against it. There's a few headwinds, but we're confident that if we all work together, we'll punch through that. We'll continue to be successful.
Well, on that successful note, I have to start. I've really enjoyed the conversation, so thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please thank Richard, Sean and Sebastian. Thank you.